The night may be long and the dark may be deep, but the answers are there to be found. Whether it's the normal, the abnormal, or the paranormal, you're in the right place. Let's go beyond reality.
Welcome to the program. Great to have everybody here tonight with us as we kick off another week. Looking forward to have returning guest Mark Christopher Nelson, the positively psychic medium. He'll be joining us tonight. We'll talk about paranormal investigations, exploring historic sites for signs of spirit and other activity, and also opportunities to connect with interdimensional beings. That's a lot to talk about in one program, but we're going to do that with Mark tonight. Looking forward to it, of course. Thank you to all the subscribers of both of the YouTube channel and the Twitch channel. We had a nice bump in subscribers on the Twitch channel, and it's a little more cumbersome to subscribe on Twitch. You can follow for no charge, but on Twitch, if you subscribe, you either pay, there's a small charge for that subscription, or you have to link it to your Amazon Prime account, which, if you link it to the Amazon Prime account, there's no additional fee, but you have to do that, and you have to do it every month. But anyway, we just saw a nice bump there, so thank you for doing that. Our followers have climbed on Twitch as well. So keep sharing it for us. It's working, obviously. And the same thing with our YouTube channel. Those subscribers and those numbers are climbing as well. It's all part of getting this message out to a bigger audience and having more people involved in what we're doing. I've been getting a lot of videos and pictures and stuff sent to me from on Facebook generally. If you have something like that you want me or have any of us take a look at here, you should, Mary Grace, I get your haircut by late. I know there's like five ladies and one guy in this place, and I always get the guy, and he does a horrible job. The ladies do a fine job. Anyway, send it to me on Facebook. Go to my fan page, JVJ Paranormal, and send it there, and we'll look at it. I did, as you know, took a look at the Gettysburg ghost video that had been circulating and receiving a lot of attention. I debunked that pretty clearly, and anybody who disagrees, I'd love to hear your thoughts, but it's pretty obvious when you really look at it what's going on there. And I pointed out in that video, is still on my Facebook page, JVJ Paranormal, if you want to take a look at how I analyzed it. So if you've got something like that, I just had a guy say, I've got a video, it's got some really crazy stuff, I want somebody to take a look at it. Send it to me. Maybe we'll even use it during the show. I'd like to be able to do that. If it's something that either I can, you know, demonstrate there's something else at play here, not something paranormal, I will point that out. If it's something that I can't explain, I will gladly feature that and point that out. Thank you for the subscription, Lost Boy. But if it's clearly faked, I probably won't point that out. If it's faked and it's obvious that it's faked, I probably won't give it much attention. Most fakes are easy to spot. Some of them have become more difficult, but if you know what you're looking for, you can see it. So anyway, a lot of great stuff coming up on the show. I thank you all for being here, and I thank you all for participating in any way that you're doing that, whether it's during the live show or you're listening to the podcast after the fact. That's a great way to keep up on the discussion and the programs. The podcast can be found on all major podcast distribution platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And you could subscribe very simply. Just hit the subscribe button and the program will be downloaded to your device automatically. And it'll always be there for you. So when you are ready to listen to a particular episode, you can. Or you can go back in the archives and listen to some of the older shows as well. A lot of great stuff. We've got like 600-700 episodes. I was actually doing some file maintenance earlier today, trying to back up some files. You know, we got to keep such a volume of material, having done this show for over 4 years, that you know, it takes up a lot of hard drive space. So we try to back it up and make sure we have duplicates of everything in case we have a crash, all that stuff. And I was going back to some interviews in 2015. And I know I said I've only been doing it 4 years. It's been syndicated for 4 years, but the show actually started in the fall of 2015. So we're going on a five-year mark for that. Email address. The best thing to do if you want to email something is send it to my producer, because that way I can, you know, he can filter out the spam and whatever else comes in. Send it to a Slick Eddie, and Eddie is spelled with a Y, E-D-D-Y, slickeddieedwards.com. No, slickeddieedwards@gmail.com. slickeddieedwards@gmail.com. That's right, Gene. I do use external hard drives for the backups. I just have to, it's organized because I've got a podcast version of the show. I've got a YouTube version of the show. I've got raw audio and video files of the show, and I have to back it all up. So it's a bit of a project that we get working on. And for those of you talking about merch, we do have, where is it? We do have the Beyond Reality Radio coffee mug still. It's a great coffee mug. I'm not sure if it's on the website. I got to check the website because we did redo the website. By the way, if you've been looking for the website, it has been moved. It is no longer at beyondrealityradio.com, and it is now beyondrealitywithjv.com. Beyondrealitywithjv.com. Okay, that's enough of this introduction. We've got to get to our discussion with Mark Christopher Nelson. Mark, of course, is the Positively Psychic Medium. We're going to be talking about paranormal investigations, exploring historic sites for signs of spirits, and opportunities to connect with interdimensional beings. A lot of great stuff ahead on the program. It's Beyond Reality. Looking forward to tonight as we kick off another week here. Please support the program. Go to patreon.com/johaw. That's J-O-H-A-W. Tonight we're talking with returning guest Mark Christopher Nelson. He is the Positively Psychic Medium. We're going to be talking about paranormal investigations, exploring historic sites, one of my favorite things to do, and opportunities to connect with interdimensional beings. Mark, welcome back to Beyond Reality. It's great to have you with us again.
JV, it's my pleasure. It was so much fun. And hey, thanks for the great intro. I think we can cover all of those things.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But before we get into that, I just have to ask you, we haven't had an opportunity to talk to many psychics on the program recently, and it just seems as though every time you turn on the news, or I don't know if anybody looks at a newspaper anymore, but if you do that, or you, you just look outside your window, things are kind of crazy. With all of this stuff going on, do you sense any unsettledness in the energy that you perceive from being a psychic medium?
Yeah, I will tell you, before everything happened with COVID, I kept feeling like, oh, there's going to be an earthquake coming. There's something big. I live out in the Los Angeles area, and I kept feeling like something lousy is going to happen. And I wish I could be more specific, but I just kept getting this, like, there's something coming. It feels like a tidal wave or something. And so that said, we've been in the middle of a tidal wave of bad news. But my sense, too, is I think that 2020 is going to be the pinnacle of the wave, so to speak, and that it's going to calm down. I feel like that, this is not, our kind of like, 9/11, when things changed afterwards, life changed a little bit, we all kept moving forward. I think that's going to be the case with this. I feel like that there is going to be resolution. I think there's going to be a lot of scientific breakthroughs that come through in understanding what we're dealing with. And I think that it's going to get better in 21, and my sense is that we're going to all not be so fearful. I feel like that we're at the pinnacle of, like I said, of all of this, but bet on it getting better. Bet on it getting a little easier and for people to stop being so suspicious. It's like you have the virus happening. You have all the politics happening. And I think that there's an interrelated energy there where people are just so anxious. It's almost like, what's next? What's next? And so to everyone saying, what's next? I say, nothing bad. Calm down. Don't expect what's next.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think that anxiety can lead to other anxieties. And I think that this unprecedented nature of the pandemic and the lockdowns and the shut-ins and people being cut off from one another and their routines disrupted. And if you're fortunate enough to have kept your job, it's a different way to go to work. It's a different way to participate in the workforce. And then there are many that lost their jobs. I mean, that in itself, the number of ways the anxiety spreads to other parts of your life, it was an epidemic.
Well, one thing I'll tell you, I love the saying, the only person who likes change is a wet baby.
And
we've been asked to change, adapt, move up, move down, wear a mask, stay 6 feet apart, don't go to work, go to work, work at home. It's just like, everybody, give it a friggin' rest. It is going to get better. And I almost feel like that if anything, if you learn and have confidence in your ability to adapt, then you're not as fearful. And I think that that kind of, cultural anxiety is going to be tamped down. There's always going to be people afraid, and for many for good reasons. But I think it is going to be straightening out in a way that we can all kind of maybe exhale a little bit. Here's another funny thing. How many people do you know, if you say, hey, how you doing? It's, I'm fine. It's like, oh, wait, should I be really saying that? No, maybe I shouldn't. No, it's like, yes, you're okay. It's weird, but it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And you said that you kind of had a sense, you thought, you know, maybe you felt like there's an earthquake coming, and maybe that's metaphoric, or I'm not sure, but you felt something big was coming. When that energy yeah. starts to make its way to you from the other side, is it in the form of, like, do you hear messages, or is it just a sense that you get?
It's all of the above. It's all of the above. I'll tell you, I was on the actual real 9/11. Mm-hmm. I had to fly, and I was flying on that morning. I landed in Philadelphia between Washington and D.C. Well, you know geography. You seem like a very bright guy. So anyway, but the night before, I was like, I'm feeling freaked out. So I sent my wife flowers. I mean, I'm living there, but it just as like a little surprise, I sent her flowers. I said, I get this funny feeling. I just need to tell you I love you in an extra way. And so I sent her flowers, and she gets the flowers, and then she sees the planes crashing, and she kind of freaked out a little bit.
Sure.
So so it'll come to me, like I'll see a vision. I'll see people marching by. I see stories. I mean, I see people. I hear things. I also get, like, I believe very much in the ability of like, feeling. Sense. Call me an empath. I guess that's what it is. Even very more tactile. Like I do things with psychometry. I have a lot of, like I get a lot of messages attached to feelings. And I have to pay attention to them. And it shows up in different ways.
What about the reverse of that? Do you start get positive vibes, positive energies when you think there's a light at the end of the tunnel, or when you start to sense there is?
Yes. In fact, that's what I'm really feeling like. It's like, I'm able to focus better. I'm feeling less frenetic. I feel like my energy is being kind of funneled into more productive avenues. I feel like my clarity of thinking is almost like getting lined up. It's almost like when we're going through a lot of stuff, like we did, I feel like I'm staticky and like I'm having trouble picking up the signal. It's like, you know, my bearings have been shifted or are shifting, and now I feel like I'm getting a little more calm. I mean, I know we have the elections coming up. There's all these, you know, rumors, threats. But I'm supposed to tell people, and thank you for giving me a chance to do this, that we will get through this. It is going to be okay. It might be a few bumps, but I do believe things settle down.
I think bumps are part of life, and I think sometimes we get so things are going. I say this with a bit of a grain of salt because it's not true for everybody, but things go pretty well for most people, and then all of a sudden you've got it, something like this, and it's almost foreign territory when we have to deal with any kind of strife. You know, we've had it pretty well for a long time, and if you look in history, you know, people have dealt with worse. As you said, Mark, we're going to get through it.
We definitely will, and also, too, the only pandemic that I'm aware of that even comes close to this was 100 years ago.
That's right.
And most of us were not here 100 years ago. And even then, they dealt with it differently. Part of what, you know, changes it for us is we're very well informed, and sometimes we can be well informed with good information or bad information. But nonetheless, there it is. And so it can cause a lot of anxiety. So,
when you were on last time, we talked about, and I think we've talked about this on a couple of occasions, but we've talked about how this all started for you, and it's an inspiring story. It actually is one of those stories you get a chill down your spine when you hear it. Tell us again how you woke up to your spiritual sensitivities.
Well, thank you, JB. It began when I was a kid. My dad, we used to live in New Jersey. I was a little kid. My dad went to work in Brooklyn, and he was murdered in what we believe was a holdup, but we don't know the details. This is in when I was 11 years old. And then shift to after the funeral, it was like in autumn. He died at the end of September, like almost to the day, which is ironic, that's really ironic. It's hitting me as I'm sitting here talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he died, I think, on the 30th. So it's like, all right. All right, so Dad has me here for a reason talking to you. And I saw him after the funeral, a few weeks after the funeral. And I'm just a little kid. I'm raised Catholic. Go do what the priest tells you. Do this, do this. That was the extent of my spiritual awareness. And so I saw Dad. I didn't know what to make of it. I mean, and I told him, please go away. And then I saw him again at school. And I was like, okay, this doesn't compute. I hope I'm not cracking up. Because I don't even know exactly what that means for a kid to crack up. And so then I said, all right, go away, Pop. And so then flash forward a couple of decades later, my wife and I just bought a house, a little girl, and I'm just thinking, it's like things are going, like you said, for the most part, pretty good. And I'm just thinking to myself, I wish my dad could see Barbara, meet Barbara. He would like her. He was, you know, he was a practical joker. I wish my dad could meet my little girl. She's fun. She's, you know. And then I kept hearing this voice in my head say, I have met them. I know who they are. And it's like, all right, it's happening again. Am I cracking up? I don't really know how to compute with this. I'm kind of a guy that can, you know, more grounded. I always thought of myself as being very practical to the point of being a little boring.
Sure.
But then this happens. And so I'm thinking, all right, hey, voice in my head who claims to be dead, tell me something I don't know so I can go validate whether I'm simply having a, you know, an emotional mental breakdown or if this is for real. And so if this is something of a different nature. So he told me, your brother Glenn is surrounded by green ivy and white walls. And that sounds like a spy message that, you know, someone hands off the, you know, in some exotic location. So I call my mom up, and she's we were living, I was at the time in the Midwest near St. Louis, in St. Louis area, and my mom was back in L.A. with my rest of my family, and I say, hey, Mom, I had this crazy dream. I wanted to couch it in a dream, not telling her I'm hearing voices in my head.
Right.
You know, because parents don't want to hear that you're cracking up. That's generally the rule. So I tell Mom, it's like, hey, I had this dream about Glenn where he's surrounded by green ivy, white walls. Does that make any sense? She says, oh, yeah, that's so funny. Did you talk to him? He just got a job at a floral shop called the Green Ivy. Oh. Is it, does it have green ivy and white walls? Yeah, that's so funny. It's like, uh-oh, okay. That's unexpected. I just thought I was just, you know, having a brain fart or something.
Right.
So then I go out for another walk. It's like, okay, how did that happen? And take another walk, and I start asking, oh, my mom will love this. Dad says, ask your mom about the baby blue negligee. And it's like, that's kind of ew. I really don't want to ask Dad, Mom about the baby blue negligee. And you just ask her. It's like, all right. And so I'll just say, I had this dream. Mom, hey, I'm on the phone again. Yeah, I had another dream. It's like, I had this dream where Dad was talking about a baby blue negligee. And she was like, what did he say about that? It's like, oh, it touched a nerve, you know? So it's like, not much. Just asked me to, he just mentioned it in passing. Well, it turns out that, you know, like 35 years after he died, she had kept this one negligee, I guess, that had kept around from their honeymoon or something. And so she kept it. And then as a gift, she gave it to me. It's like, hey, that's great. After she realized that I'm working as a psychic medium, it's like, I have a baby blue negligee for my mom, and I might have been conceived in it. This is really kind of an awkward, happy little thing to get. You know, do I really? I'll keep it kind of wrapped. Thanks, Mom. Okay, I don't know what the hell to do with this, but I got it. And so I started to get other messages. And then after that, I thought, all right, am I forgetting? Did Mom tell me about this? Did someone tell me about this in the family? I got to go somewhere where I don't know anybody. And by this time, we had moved to a little town in Ohio. I walk into this bookstore, and I said, all right, this is a good cold test. I don't know anybody here. Let me see what I can get. And so I talked to the manager. I said, I think I'm psychic. She goes, really? Oh, cool. What you want to? Can I test? Can I read somebody? Read me. And so then I got this. I started, you know, seeing like almost like a very visceral memory where I see this young guy getting in a fight with like three other guys, and like he got ganged up on and beat up and was home. And then I see him being convalesced by an older guy, and then it's almost like I get a whisper, oh, that's her dad. Her dad's taking care of her son. I said, did your son just get beat up by some boys at school? Is your dad taking care of him? She was like, well, yes, that's pretty good. Hey, do you want to read for us? And I've kind of stumbled forward like that, you know. So I started reading for them, and I started to figure out, how do I do this? I mean, at the time, the only guy I saw doing anything was like John Edward, and I watched him, and it's like, all right, I don't know how he does it. I read one of his books. I kind of got a handle on, okay, this is how he seems to do it. And so I started feeling my way around in the dark to a point where it's like, okay, I need this to work. I don't need that to work. I need to go here to hear a message. I need to be calm. I need to be clear. I need to get out of my own way. I would do a mental exercise where I would say, okay, Mark, go take a nap. You know, just go away. You're not needed here. Let's do a reading. And so someone would come in, and I learned that, like, me sending myself away was kind of like me saying, hey, worries, hey, ego, go take a hike. You're not needed here.
Right.
And it made it kind of work.
It's an amazing story, and I just want to take you back to when you first had the visions of your father. Was he trying to communicate with you, or did you just see him?
No, he was trying to, you know, in hindsight, what Dad was trying to, he died in a very violent way, very sudden. It was, you know, hard on everybody, and no one had answers. They didn't. They kind of knew that there was, the cops told us that he had walked into a mafia-run bar.
Wow.
At a very difficult time in New York City's history in the late 60s. And so he came through. I mean, we were close to him. He was good to us. And the message was, I'm okay. I'm okay. And he told me, because I saw him smiling, he looked whole. He hadn't been injured or disfigured as we were told that he had been.
Right.
And so it was like, all right, Dad's here. And part of me was like overjoyed, but part of me was like, you're not supposed to be here. I don't know if I'm supposed to see you. But the message was reassuring. And then I saw him again at school. And again, the message was, it's reassuring. I'm okay. I'm here. Know that I'm here and that you can hear me. And I would say for anyone listening, JV, who's lost someone tragically, suddenly, or under any circumstance, if you get a visitation, if someone comes to see you, take a breath. Don't run. And be clear and know that this is new for people on the other side, too.
Yeah.
You know, it was new for my dad. It was new for, you know, anyone that crosses over suddenly and they no longer have to worry about eating. They don't have to worry about their physical health. And their thoughts, it seems like from my perspective, from what I hear, inevitably goes to the people that they left behind. They want to help them. They want them to know, I'm really okay. It's not horrible. I'm not in the dark. I'm not afraid. I'm not dying. I mean, I'm not in pain. And JV, I know you've done a lot of investigating and you've talked to people like me. And you've had your own experiences. But so many people haven't been put in that position where they're told till, say, you tell them or I tell them or whoever tells them that you're the person that you love is not suffering. In fact, they're more worried about you. And I think it can be very reassuring. It kind of keeps people from flipping out, being afraid, being in pain. And that's really why I do a lot of this work. It's why I do it.
Yeah, that's a great point. We often think, we forget the big picture here. And when we lose somebody, we think it's all sad. And clearly there's grief involved. And clearly you miss people that you love when they mm-hmm. depart. However, as you just pointed out, it actually... for them, in many cases, it's a better place, and they're okay.
To be more specific, it's like how many people have lost say a parent who's in a home, they can't walk, their mobility is curtailed, they're stuck in bed, they can't move their fingers, and they inevitably come back and say, I can move again, I can stand up again, I'm my back isn't bringing tears, the back pain is gone. I'm no longer burdened with the physical problems I experienced in life. As much as, you know, there were good things, so many things at the end of our life, I'm no longer, like, interesting, like, say, with people who have had mental illness, perhaps there was suicide, or a drug overdose, whatever it would be, they come back and say, you know, that that illness was affecting my physical brain. My consciousness, however, has survived the body, and I'm in a much better place. I'm no longer trying to reason, to think, to be while coping with an intense pain, be it emotional, physical, or whatever.
As you started to recognize your sensitivities and the ability to communicate, and at first it was a bit of a surprise to you and may have been a little bit frightening to you, but as you started to recognize how important that ability was, how did you make the transition from just accepting it for yourself and recognizing you could use it to help other people who were dealing with things that you had dealt with as a child and you know, other people deal with every day?
Well, it became very, very gratifying when it's like, all right, I'm hearing a crazy message. I don't know if this is true, but it's making a difference in someone else's life. I remember early on there was this young woman who came to me, and the father of her daughter had gone out to the grocery store, like a short run, like I'm going down the block. He was robbed and killed for $20. And so she was, you know, this poor young woman was in terrible pain. And this guy comes back and says, please tell her I'm okay. And she's saying they're $20. And he says, yes, but I left you with an angel. I left you with an angel. And it turns out that they had named their daughter Angel, and that this was meaningful for her because it made her realize that, all right, the guy, he isn't just how I identified him in the morgue. His consciousness is still beautiful, yeah. Handsome, compelling, there, wants to be there for me. I can understand the idea that he's not here physically, and I'm okay with the idea that he's still paying attention to us and loves us still. And that's when it started to feel like, okay, there's a point to this. I'm not doing card tricks. I'm not, you know, pulling right. a rabbit out of my hat. This has implications for the way other people live, and I have to honor it. I have to honor it. And that's what I've tried to do.
How long have you been at that point? How many years ago was that kind of that epiphany?
I'm going to say maybe 20 years,
wow.
15 years. And then here's the thing, though, is that I keep peeling the onion.
Mm-hmm.
I keep finding out something new about it. I keep finding out that, oh, I can do this with this. Oh, there's someone here for that purpose. Oh, I can understand that now. I didn't understand it before. And part of this has been, like, I started out just doing readings, and then I went to doing platform readings, so I started to read for audiences. And then it was a paranormal investigating group, saw me doing my work, and they were saying, do you think you could go into a house and tell us something? And it was almost like, I think so. I don't know, because I haven't done this before. And so I went in, and I went with them for this one experience, and it was like, hey, I'm hearing there's a guy, Tom. There's more than one guy named. I just remember Tom, this one event. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a couple of guys named here, Tom. He said, well, there are three generations of guys named Tom that lived in this house. All right, and it was like, holy smoke. I mean, I heard that right. And so, okay, let's see where else this goes. You know, it's like, hey, if someone gave you a new bike and you don't know whether you can make it up the hill or not, or what am I going to do with this? You know, I still love this Saturday Night Live skit where Dan Aykroyd made something and he goes, hey, it's a floor wax and it's a dessert topping. And that's kind of like what this is. It's like, I can hear people, clients sit in front of me. I can get in front of a platform of people. I can go on a platform, hear lots of them, see them call out to me. I can go into a house. I do radio shows. I hear things from, I can channel where it's like, all right, this guy's coming through and he's trying to tell me blank, blank, and blank. And I just, a lot of it comes out of the way. People are wondering, it's like, they think I'm nuts, but what I would just say is like, get out of your own way. Step aside, have faith that the universe is a friendly place, that there are people in spirit who want to help you. I mean, I do protect myself with prayer, and I try to be conscious that there are some very dark corners of the universe as well. And I'm sure that you've kind of, you know, bumped into those as well.
Yeah.
But I try to be, I mean, those things almost sound like fire alarms. If I'm going into kind of a bad joint, it's like, all right, I got to make sure I'm protected here because I don't like the feeling of it. And it's almost like you just get something that, you know, messes with your stomach a little bit. It's almost like, all right, it feels very visceral. There's something not good here, as opposed to, all right, I'm reading for a guy who's coming through for his wife that they were married 60 years. He's telling me lovely things, and she's better now. A lot of the paranormal, I mean, it isn't all vicious, horrible, terrible stuff, but, I mean, it's different more times than it's not from my easier, more loving experiences that I deal with.
You know, a lot
reading for individuals.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about the clairs, you know, using air quotes here, you know, clairvoyance. Talk about those and how they affect the work that you do.
Well, you know what? My sense is that, let's say, I've worked as a writer for a long time, that the clairs, that spirit, I'm going to call it spirit, it's going to use whatever I bring to the table. Let's say I have a pretty good sense of writing. Before you called, I was just sitting down jotting notes to see who's coming through. The clairs are also there's clairaudient, sentient. I don't know all of them off the top of my head, but I know that I mix them up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, let's say someone is very emotionally attuned. Let's imagine that I'm fairly emotionally stable. Let's give that a go. You know, but then what happens is like I'll get, okay, your mom is telling me that she was a practical joker, that she was like this and like this. I get emotional cues because I'm kind of built that way. But like the funny thing for me is like I've always had a pretty good, I do this thing called psychometry, which falls under one of the clairs in terms of like being able to sense and feel. And I guess I just am very attuned to when I hold something, touch something, I can hear about it. So I would say for anyone that's wanting to explore, you know, your ability, let's say you're a dancer, you're a truck driver, or whatever it is, they're going to use, they being the spirits, your guides, whoever's trying to come to you, they're going to use whatever you bring to the table. You can sing. If you're very articulate, they'll use that. If you're good at drawing, they're going to use that because it's like it's almost like they don't care what you call me. Just I'm going to use whatever you've got to help bring across the messages that I think someone needs to hear. And so I find that a comforting idea that it's like I don't have to learn how to do this. This is they're going to use what I do. And so that applies to anybody who's listening. If you think you're really comfortable and assert with one of the clairs, then they're going to use that, and it's going to make it easier. And then you'll find out that, all right, I'd also say don't restrict yourself. If you think you're good at one thing, you might on this spiritual journey figure out that I can also handle this, or this isn't upsetting, this is interesting. So there are great categories, but I also would tell people don't get hung up in any one. Also, too, the other wild card in this is the spirit that's coming through. Let's say you're channeling someone who is an accountant. All of a sudden, they're going to show you rows and rows of numbers. And this has happened a lot. It's like, was your dad an accountant? Because he's just showing me one stack of numbers after another. It's like he's really good at this. Do you see all these numbers? He's showing me numbers stacked up. That's my dad. Okay, that's my dad. JV, was your dad kind of like a fairly technically adept guy? Like, could he work with electronics, or was he?
He absolutely was. He actually inspired me to get into radio because of his love for electronic gear, and he actually built radios with me as a kid.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah,
well, let me just
absolutely
go with this. What I'm seeing is, like, he was, like, very good at getting in and tuning, fixing, wiring, welding. He was able to put things together in a way that was kind of like second nature, and that's part of what he likes what you're doing. It isn't just a radio. It's like he likes your ability to take technology and use it when you investigate. He seems to be really into that, and he also, it feels like that as much as he can, he bonds with you over that, all right? By the way, in your where, and do you have like I know you talked about being a Beatles fan.
Yeah.
Do you have like, are there concert posters up around you? Like, you know, go to the show. Any, like, do you have any like old style concert posters around you?
It's really funny because I don't have any, and people watching the YouTube stream will be able to see, I don't have any right behind me. I've got some albums that are standing up behind me because I think they're interesting album covers. And then in addition to that, in our studio bathroom, which is right to my right, I've got an Elvis poster from concert poster from like 1956.
Okay, well, I think that's your dad showing me these old concert posters. So, and some of this old album rock art.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that's presenting. So what I would tell you is that he hangs around. He thinks it's really cool what you're doing. Is there an Elizabeth connected to you?
I had an aunt Elizabeth, Aunt Lizzie. She was actually my mother's aunt, and she lived to be, I can't remember exactly, 98, 99, and she died a few years back, but that would be the only Lizzie or Aunt Elizabeth that I can think of.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, that sounds, I don't know why she's popping up. Maybe we'll figure out as we go. But those are some of the things that I just saw quickly about Dad.
If you don't mind me asking you, because my audience will know, that very frequently, Mark, I'll be sitting here doing the show, and to my right side, I think there's a man standing there. And I'll look over. Of course, there is no man standing there, but it looks very clear in my peripheral vision. And it happens. It hasn't happened so much in the last couple months, but there was a period where it was happening quite often.
Well, sometimes they feel like they want to be close to you. The dad have like a respiratory issue.
My father died from complications of lung cancer.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll call that a hit. But he's telling me that he's okay now. Clearly he's okay. That was connected to the body, and that's how he comes across. I'm not coughing anymore. I'm not pain. No pain in my chest. I'm not feeling that. I'm feeling better. He said, damn proud of you, all right?
Wow.
That's how he comes across with that.
Wow. That's amazing, Mark. And it's actually quite comforting, so thank you for that. Thank you for that message.
My pleasure. Well, maybe I'm going too far. Did he have to wear glasses, like pushing them up his nose a lot?
Well, he passed away when he was 69 years old. He wasn't that old from, as I said, an illness. But for the 20 years prior to that, he had reading glasses. In fact, it's funny because he'd have to put them on for anything. And I've got a pair of his reading glasses in my hands right now that I'm showing. I'm showing the camera.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he brought up the glasses. I kept wanting to, like, I wear glasses, like, if I'm reading something. Some things you have to push them for your nose. And so we brought up the glasses. If you're holding his glasses, he's saying, hello, buddy. How are you? Miss you. Love you. All right? So that's how he's rolling, okay? Just love. You know, I mean, they don't have to overthink it. There's no, like, oh, gosh, I'm a guy saying I love my son. And he loves you. So that's fairly straightforward, okay? It's nice.
Yeah. So that is nice. I've got a very good, warm feeling from what you just said to me, so I appreciate that. Thank you for that.
My pleasure.
I'm talking tonight with Mark Christopher Nelson, and Mark was kind enough to talk a little bit about my father. Mark and I didn't talk about any of that prior to the show. We haven't talked about it before. And a couple of things that Mark said about my dad were spot on, plus the fact he mentioned my father being... I don't know how, Mark, how you put it, but you said welding, you said some things like that. My father was one of these guys that was a jack of all trades. He and I basically built a house. Well, I say he and I, he did all the work. I just kind of carried things for
him.
And you
learned.
And he did, you know, he was a plumber, he was an electrician, and he was into electronics gear. And he inspired me to basically be where I am today because his interest in music and electronics gave me that passion as a kid. It led me to my career in radio, and it's where how I ended up here. So again, we didn't talk about any of that ahead of time, Mark, and I appreciate you taking the time to make it a little bit personal for me. That's nice. So thanks for that.
Well, JV, your pop showed up, and so I just had to say, hey, all right, he's here. Okay, got it.
Does that
cool.
happen? I mean, you're talking to me, and my father knew that and decided to send energy to you, however it works, to come to me? I mean, does that just happen without you having to seek it out?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I mean, I put myself in a position to where I'm kind of relaxed. I mean, I'm playing with you. I'm being kind of a nutty. I'm just goofing. I'm goofing with you. And I'm playing. But part of that is like, okay, Mark, just shut up and listen occasionally. And then I hear it. And then I have to pass it along. And I think that, it's like I'm very thrilled that I can do this. But I'd just be this guy with a dumb look in my face if people in spirit didn't show up and throw me a bone. So I'm very grateful that your pop just wanted you to know that everything's cool and that, you know, he's aware of you. And it was like, I'm not looking for it. And then I'm just kind of, it almost feels like, oh, I forgot I knew that. And then I see this guy pushing glasses up in his nose. And then I see this guy coughing and my chest hurts. All of a sudden it's like,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel good. And then I see him being like really able to focus in and take care of tiny details. And it just starts to, it's like, I just want to throw it out there, you know. And I reserve the right to be wrong sometimes. And since I do that, I'm not really over-calculating. I just kind of, you know, spit it out as quick as I can.
Let's talk about guides. You work with spirit guides to help you manage this communication. Are spirit guides specific to each individual person? Are spirit guides, is it the same group of guides that everyone accesses? How does that part of this work?
Well, I think that the guides that, JV, you have guides. You may not be aware of it. I have guides. And, you know, does my guide double team somewhere? Yeah, he might, but you know what it is like I have kind of a group that I think of. I have my dad was the first one to show up and say, hey, you're going to meet some people. They're not bad. They're going to be here to help you. And they seem to have special points of reference. Like one of my favorite guides, guy that shows up, and it's like they'll look familiar. They want you to recognize them to not be afraid. They're not going to show up as a vision of something that you're going to reject. So I have one guide that I think a lot of Americans, it's kind of a generalization, but I think that many of us were raised with the idea that Native Americans are probably a little more spiritually attuned.
Right.
That is as broad a generalization as there can be. But because of that, the guides, if my guide said, oh, Mark thinks that, Native Americans are more inclined to be spiritual. And that I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying it's like we're going to operate with what he thinks he knows in order to communicate. And so I have a really cool guy that shows up. He seems like a much more contemporary Native American, but he's just easy for me to talk to. And so he'll show me things. And then I have another guy that looks more like Bob Vila from, out of this old house. It's like, Mark, you're screwing it up. You're going too fast. You know, it's like, go get a Phillips head. Go. But they tend to be metaphors for what I'm trying to sort out. And so they'll use them. And so I would say that everybody has guides that appear as if they were tailor-made for them. That has been my experience. So let's say you're comfortable with dealing with a guy that, he operates the bait shack, or he's the guy in the hardware store that always goes in the back and finds the thing you're looking for. That could be your guide, or the guy in the electronics store say, yeah, I got him, I've got a converter, hold on. But the metaphor, the belief, or the idea is that they're going to come back with something you need. If you're someone that, whatever your needs or whatever, they just, it's almost like I don't care what you call me, just call me. And they show up, and then they want you to be not afraid. I mean, my brother Steve, I have a brother named Steve. He's in the other room. God bless him. I think my guide chose the name, just call me Steve, because he knew I would be kind of comfortable with it.
Right. Are the guides basically, are they just spirits that have assumed that role, or are they a special kind of entity?
It's a great question. I would say that the guides, I think that my dad came through as almost like, here, I'm going to show you so you're not afraid of what you're walking into. I'm going to be here to reassure you. And then I have another guy that I see him as my grandfather. He may, if I have a financial question, my grandfather was a very well-known, very accomplished accountant, and he ran the big office, part of the IRS in New York. And so it's almost like he says, "Yeah, you have a financial question. I'll show up as grandpa, and I'll be okay with you." I do think that they have different specialties. I'm not sure if I'm answering your question. I don't mean to ramble.
No, you are. You are. Do we all have a way to access those guides? Obviously, people like you, Mark, have a heightened sensitivity and ability to cross that bridge. Maybe it's because you've been doing it and you get better at it over time, kind of like, you know, if you're a piano player, you get better the more you do it.
Sure.
Or are there barriers to for some of us? Because I don't feel like I have that ability at all.
Well, you know, I'll say this, I'm a dreadful singer. But if you put me in a group of people and it's a song I know, I can kind of not horribly embarrass myself. You know, that's not my strength. So, can I sing? Technically, I'm singing along a rhythm line, so that technically I'm a singer, and I haven't, you know, made people cover their ears. So that's a good day for me. But the idea that, JV, you may have really, it took me a while to kind of wake up and be open to my ability, and that part of it, I mean, we all have different reasons why we don't want to look. Yours may not be as sharp as others, but I would say that in a pinch, you might be very surprised. I mean, I hear all kinds of things, and, you know, one of them is that in an emergency or in a time of heightened need, I got a message, and it turned out to be useful. And so I would say that all of us have some level of ability, and then it comes down to, it's like, I'll use the singing analogy. If someone wanted to waste a lot of time teaching me to sing not dreadfully, I would get better. But it would probably not be the best use of my time, although I would love to be able to sing better, because I like music, I like listening. So in your case, you may have more of an ability, and you're not aware of it. People also, too, they may see themselves as being creative, and they are creative, and they're good at coming up with something. I contend that if you have a creative mind, you're probably somewhat intuitive, because I've always felt that, like, the arts, someone being creative, being able to write, being able to do something off the top of their head, the other side of that coin is intuition. They just haven't really taken, you know, honored it or been afraid of it or whatever reason. So if you're able to, like, intuitively figure things out, you may be doing this based on experience, based on a good guess, based on your education, but there also is going to be part of it where it's like, this feels like I should try it this way, you know? And so I would tell anybody that you probably have some ability. Also, too, I would say the one thing that in our modern world, JV, is that people don't let themselves find quiet. I mean, we've got so many cool little devices to let us listen, do, tune in, pay attention, get a tweet, you know, get tweets, get, you know, be updated. If you can carve out a little quiet, it's really hard for spirit to compete sometimes with all of our little devices and energies that we surround ourselves with. And say, before I do a reading, I'll just close the door and I'll do a meditating, and my meditating can fall under two categories. One, I need to clear my head and relax. And two, I want to clear my head with the idea that I want someone to show up and tell me something I don't know. So it's kind of like, one is almost like I'm going on a little hunt. The other one is just, I need to kind of clear the decks and see what happens. But I always have to do the clear to decks first, although sometimes I don't even have to do that. I just slip into, okay, someone's telling me, oh, your dad's here, and he's telling me blah, 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 blah. And I just start going, because I kind of just jumped into it, almost snaps in, you know? I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. Let's talk a little bit about your your paranormal investigating. You kind of mentioned you didn't really think about it much. You were asked to do it. What was your experience when you actually went into a place that was active as a medium? Describe it for us and tell us how that helped other investigators work.
Well, I work with a great group, Pacific Coast Paranormal. Shout-outs to Stefan, Tara, Mike. Okay, enough of that. I love those guys. But I kind of act like the bird dog. And my wife, Barbara, also, she's a wonderful counterpart because she's good at, like, being calm in the face of door slamming and things sliding around when they're not supposed to be. So we all will go out together and we'll see things. But what I do is, like, I'll walk up and they'll say, is there anything happening here? And I'll say, it's like, yes, there is. I see a guy that hung himself in the garage. There's this hanging body in the garage. Go put mics over there. Let's make sure we got that covered. Or I'll get, okay, one place I'd walk up and I see, okay, in spirit, there's like four guys in Harley sitting around. And they look like they're really born to be bad. I mean, they're bad to the bone. And I walk into the house, and I smell, like in spirit, I say, okay, someone shot handguns off in this little room. And the owner says, okay, yeah, over here. I smell cordite. I know what gunpowder smells like. And they're saying, yeah, when I moved in here, I had to fill bullet holes in the walls around here and here. Okay. Well, I know who did it, and then I just have to go with it. And so, one of the most recent, like, one that was really creepy for me, I went to what they call the Jaws house. One of my all-time creep-outs was going to this house connected to the Black Dahlia.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe it was with the producers from Ghost Hunters asked me, come along and see if you see anything here. I know how it works where they look for a couple of storylines, and they brought me along because I did a show for Haunted History. And so then they brought me in. What do you get here? And I walk up, and it's this, it's called the Sowden House on Franklin in, like, the east side of Hollywood. And I walk up, and I see this little kind of a small guy in spirit, dressed very much in like 40s type clothes, and I'm seeing him. He's staring at me, and I go, oh, he's a doctor. Oh, I get it. Oh, and I went right to the producer before anybody started talking, and I said, hey, before anyone says anything and pollutes the environment and accuses me of overhearing it, if a doctor lived in this house in 1947, he's the one that did it. And they're like, okay, that's kind of it. Okay, and so I see people in spirit, and they show up, and also too, they tend to know I can, and so I tend to, like, get reactions. Like they'll bug me. I sent a video to Eddie, and it was like the last. I've never had someone use an SLS camera. Do you know what an SLS camera is?
Yeah, I sure do.
And so I went into this house, and I said, there's someone punching me in the face. And they turned the SLS camera, and there's, like, this imp guy, like punching me right in the cheek. And it's like, okay. And they're like, we're watching him punch you in the cheek. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, call me the bird dog. I'm like, they don't, they'll show up. Or I'll say, there's someone tapping me in the back of the head. I can see it. And they turn the SLS camera. Once again, there's this huge, figure, like, much taller than me. And so because they know that I'll pick up on them, they tend to kind of, like, go after me. It's almost like, let's say you're in a foreign country. You're out in the sticks. Nobody knows you. And then you hear some guy speaking English. You kind of go to him.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, I can connect with this guy. And so it's kind of what happens. And it's amazing, and it's a little, like the Sowden House guy was this little nasty doctor who actually, it's the only time I had something what I would call, we've heard people say, oh, it followed me home. Well, I really think it did. The reason why is my wife, Barbara, and I mean, we're very blessed. We've been married a long time. She puts up with me. She didn't call me crazy when I said I think I hear things. That counts for her. So we've had like maybe one or two big fights in our whole marriage where we're just like, screaming at each other. Well, we get back from the Sowden House, and then for some reason we just kind of turned on each other, And it's like, we went into, like, arguably one of the worst fights, and then it's almost like, wait a minute. We just came out of a house with a serial killer spirit that was there, and he, so far as I can tell, murdered a lot of women. Now you and I are having, like, a real screamer, and we haven't had one of those since we were kids. All right, I think that, this really nasty spirit kind of, it isn't possession, but it's oppression. There's a bit of a difference. There's a big difference.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting a bit oppressed, and I'm being influenced to do something I would not normally do. Barbara, too. And so we both basically said, okay, go back to our corners. I don't really think I'm that mad at you, and I don't even know why I would be that mad at you. So that was like a real thing that got me, where it's like, okay, we got to – that's why I say it's like if you go into a place, don't just think that you're there and that it can't get you because – in this one last place, I don't always buy, I got scratched, I got touched. I got scratches in the back of my neck. And this was after the SLS camera was picking up on it. That, I think, in rare occasions does happen. Not every episode. That's not real. I don't know if that's true. But I literally got some scratches in the back of my neck and said, look at this. This hurt. I feel this. I mean, I'm not bleeding terribly, but it's like there's scratches that feels like in the back of my neck. And sure enough. And this camera really kind of blew my mind. It's like I know I'm seeing things, but this thing was like, we're watching this thing hit you. You know, it's like, holy shit, that's kind of, didn't expect that. You know, so, and I'm sure with your experience you've seen, like, the fact that some of these conscious beings do or don't like being investigated. They're going to react differently.
Yeah, they all react a little bit differently. And I want to ask, after that experience where you had at least some energy follow you home, attach itself to you, which affected what happened to you when you got home, do you do anything differently now when you investigate?
Yeah. Oh, well, I say prayers. I surround myself. I mean, I use holy water. I mean, I'm still, even though the Catholic Church may or may not agree with everything I do, there's a Mark 9:38-39 is a reference where the apostles come to Jesus and say, hey, there's some guy driving out evil spirits in your name. I think that's the exact reference. And he says, should we make him stop? And he says, nope, anyone doing something in my name is operating in, for me. Anyone who's with us can't speak against us. Well, when I get into a situation like that, I do kind of like say, okay, I recognize that there is such a thing as a non-human entity. Sometimes they can be spirits. I'm very blessed. I haven't dealt with a demon, but I think that it's possible that they're out there. I've also think that they're interdimensional beings that they don't fit what I thought. I mean, you don't know what you're getting. Sometimes it's like, that's not human. That doesn't feel like my grandma or a guy that, put horseshoes on and murdered the wife. You know, it doesn't feel like this kind of guy. It feels different. And so that's when, like, say, some of my friends will bring out equipment and we'll find that's a portal. That feels like a portal because I'm getting all this energy over here. That's happening there. And so, but like this one last place where, I saw on the SLS machine little green men punching me in the head.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, this is not, it doesn't feel human because I don't know how else to put it. It's just as much as I thought I saw your dad, having a really good time working with, electronics, I see these guys and I think, that doesn't feel human. It feels something else, but then again, I mean, I will use, I'll say a prayer to Michael the Archangel, or I'll say Our Fathers, or I'll do whatever it is, and if it's something that was human, they tend to react to that. Either get away, they quiet, they get pissed off, they throw things, but this one seemed to have, like, no bearing. And then the other funny thing, like, again, this one last one, I heard what sounded like a hissing, like a language, and it's like, all right. And so we picked up something on a recorder God bless my buddies at Pacific Coast. They're good guys. And they caught something. We're hearing something, too. And it's like, I'm telling you, it sounds like hissing. It sounds like kind of a hissing. So it made me think, what the heck is that? And this led, actually, our group, we did this thing. We explored close encounters of the fifth kind protocol. I don't know if you're aware of that. It's no. Where you know, the movies, Close Encounter of the First Kind, Third Kind, and Fifth Kind is kind of a spiritual opening.
Okay.
There's a Dr. Stephen Greer who has, I think he's, and I have no relation to him, but he seems to, one of my friends was aware of his work. We wanted to see if through all of us meditating and being clear and seeing in the same property where there was bizarre behavior and issues, like one of the owners was actually getting hurt and harassed, and seemingly I thought, okay, is this our first demon and that I've had to deal with? And I, God, I hope not. I mean, it's going to test my faith, you know? And then I go in here and it's like, it's not really demonic, I don't think, but what the hell is it, you know? And so I think that we might have been dealing with kind of an interdimensional, which is kind of like takes my ideas about what I thought I knew about the paranormal and takes it to a place that I wasn't planning on going. I don't know if you've dealt with anything like that, but it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. We're going to find ourselves out of time here, Mark, so I want to move through a couple more things. And I want to know, you've had a lot of very interesting experiences when you've investigated. Have you ever had the benefit of a non-technology-assisted full apparition sighting?
Yes. It was pretty early on. I did a reading at my cousin's house in New Jersey. And so it turns out that my cousin and her husband bought the house from his mother, and she died in the house. So I did a reading, and I'm getting all kinds of stuff. She did this, she did that, she's thankful for this. It's like, you know, like she says you covered up all the green. She says, well, we have new aluminum siding underneath the siding. It's all green old paint. Okay, well, she's telling you she likes that you covered up the green. And she said that she's just giving details. And so when we wake up, it's when my daughter was just a few, like 2 years old. She was sleeping in a guest bedroom in the same house where my cousin's mother-in-law died. We hear Katie crying in the middle of the night. Barb says, I'll get up, I'll get her. And so I'm sitting there, okay, I'm awake, I'll wait for Barb. I'm not falling asleep because it's getting to be like almost 5 in the morning, and I'm waiting for her to come back. And I kind of turn my head, then I turn back, and I see this sweet old lady wearing a nightgown. And it's like, okay, where are you from? And she just smiles and just kind of, and I see her from like her knees up because of the bed. And she just smiles and looks at me, and then she just disappears. And it was as if someone threw ice water on me and gave me an electrical shock all at the same time. I was like, I'm up. All right, what the heck was that? All right, I know who that was. And then I go out and I talk to we'll call him my cousin-in-law, who's like getting up to work in the city. And I go, hey, Perry, this may sound weird, but do you ever see your mother around here? Just, yeah. I said, well, you should have told me. You know, it would have been nice to know. But she literally came through. And other than seeing my dad when I was a kid, seeing my cousin's mom, a mother-in-law, she was clear, she was sweet, she was just like, hello, dear, how are you? And then just gone. And that really, I couldn't go to sleep. And then Barbara's, and I know I was awake because I talked to Barbara, I'll wait for you to come back. And then I'm sitting up in bed, and I'm not expecting to see anything. I'm off duty. I did my reading earlier. I was already dealing with that. I don't need any more. You know, I'm all full up. And then she showed up and she was just sweet as pie. And it was pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you just, when you don't, I think a lot of the time they show up when you don't expect it. I mean, it's,
I think that's probably why we don't have better pictures, because you're never prepared when you actually have that particular encounter.
No, and the timing isn't good. Oh, we're going to go fishing. All right, that's a great fishing hole. Well, let's see if you get anything. You know,
right.
And I would just say with this, it's like, or if you go and do an investigation, all right, they may show up and show you something before you even get your camera set up.
That's right.
You know, it's like, holy shit, I wish I had that. It's like, yeah, well, they know, and they kind of just want to mess with you. If they're conscious beings, they're perfectly capable of messing with the investigators.
Do they have the spirits that you would communicate with for on the behalf of somebody who's trying to communicate with the other side? Do they have an agenda for us? Do they have a goals and objectives for us that they're trying to guide us to?
Yeah, I would say that my clients, they want more than just saying, "Oh, I got your father's name. All right, next." No, Dad comes through and says, hey, that person you're dating is going to make a mess of things, or it's like, you're going to lose your job, but you're not supposed to freak out because this is going to happen. So they come to, just because, like, for example, when your dad passed, he didn't stop caring about you. He didn't stop paying attention. They don't stop loving us. They don't stop caring. And to that extent, if, you know, they want to give you a little bit of friendly advice. Hey, I love you. Don't do this. Or, hey, look out for your sister. Or get your wife to check out that thing on her shoulder. That's not that may be more than a cyst. I mean, I get stuff like that. So they'll tell you stuff with a purpose. They want to be of comfort. They want you to know, hey, I'm still here. I love you. I don't know what you're doing, or I do know what you're doing. And I've had them come through with as benign stuff as, like, you really need to get the brush cleared from the backyard. I mean, I've had that where it's like, I was just thinking about doing that. So, well, your dad says you need to. And so it's funny. It's like whatever it is that your need is, wherever you are in your life, they come through with stuff that can be useful. And it's really comforting. It isn't just all the same stuff because JV, you and I probably could find 100. I love the Beatles too, you know, and I like doing radio, and I like doing. But there's things that are just you, and your dad very likely is going to know those things that are just you, and may bring it up, you know. And so that's the way it is for everybody: the parents, the loved ones, the kids. One last quick example. I'm working with a lovely lady in India. Her name is Tanvi Kapoor. I probably said her name wrong, but Tanvi Kapoor. Pakapur. And she and I connected. She saw me do a show, and then she asked me to look at this very tragic young movie star in India that died under mysterious circumstances. I paid attention. I did a reading. He came through. That was relevant for her. That was relevant for their audience, and many of the details that came through seemed really important. I was honored that this young man in spirit was there. And so that it's just really fascinating. It all depends on what you're there for, who's there. And then a lot of times people in spirit want to clear the air, so to speak. They want you to know, this didn't happen to me, this did. Please look at this. Or tell someone I know that, like tell a loved one that I didn't commit suicide. This is different. This is not it. I did not do this on purpose. Or something else complicated it. That happens a lot where people are feeling terrible. They lost a loved one. They thought had committed suicide when, in fact, they didn't commit suicide. It was an accident. Or they contributed to their own passing and they admit it. But it provides some relief because people don't want to think, it's like, if I had done this and this, maybe I could have saved him or her. And they're saying, no, I take responsibility for what happened. It was me being a screw-up. I did this. Please forgive me. That kind of message matters.
It does. It matters significantly. I do want to ask you a difficult question, and maybe there isn't an answer to it. But you mentioned suicide. When you do communicate with somebody who took their life that way, is there any difference in the communication?
No, they usually, I mean, they will come through. It's like, I take responsibility. I would say that virtually every circumstance, it's a physical thing that they're dealing with a disease of the mind that is influencing their mental functioning. Their consciousness is mired in an unhealthy physical brain. People come through almost inevitably saying, if they had done this, saying, you know, I'm better now. I see where I made a mistake. My brain wasn't, I was unclear. I was, you know, and it's an interesting hard place is when someone dies, say, from an accidental drug overdose and people think, oh, he died or she died without leaving a suicide note. It's like, I wasn't planning to commit suicide. This was an accident.
Yeah.
And then they want you to know, but, or those, even those that did commit suicide, they come through with saying, I was unhealthy in my mind, and that this is, you know, I'm so sorry I put you through this. And thank you for taking care of my cat. This one young girl came through once. Thank you for taking care of my cat. My cat has fur balls. Don't feed it this. And it's like, all right, she says her cat's throwing up fur balls. Does that matter? And you have her cat, and she says it's fur balls. And she's saying yes. Okay, well then it just becomes further confirmation that I'm just not really good at guessing. You know?
I had a question scroll through our chat room here. Have you ever had an instance, or does it happen with any regularity, where you're trying to communicate with somebody on the other side for someone, and you just can't make the connection? The spirit, for whatever reason, won't communicate with you?
That does happen sometimes, because I'm a radio. I'm like the radio. You turn on the channel, you put on the power, and if it's not in the radio, I don't always hear it. But I would say that is a very seldom the case. The other thing that's interesting, too, is that someone may want to speak with their father or mother, but it could be someone younger in spirit that comes through, or someone else that they weren't aware of. I mean, when I'm doing platform reading, I feel like I'm looking out on a sea of potential people to talk to, and it's like, how do I choose? And that same phenomenon can happen when it's like I'm just talking to someone on the phone. I do most of my work, 98% of it, especially lately, is by phone. And it someone that you weren't really planning on coming through comes through. And that's because they felt like they shouted at me just a little louder than the other folks. I have a good analogy for people wondering about this, is that I like to tell people we live, you know those like medieval tapestries where they span walls and they're huge and some, you know, they're made with needlework, and it's astonishing accomplishments, and you see these beautiful images. And then on the other side, the back of the tapestry, is a bunch of strings and knots. We live on the side with the strings and the knots.
Interesting.
So we see, like, what the hell is that? What's that? I don't get that. What's pretty about this? And you see it on the other side, and you go, oh, I got it.
Right. That's a great way to put it. Mark, we're going to run out of time here. People have an interest in consulting with you and maybe making some of these connections. How are they able to do it?
You go to marknelsonmedium.com, and I've got, you'll see that my, you can directly schedule readings right there. I have a phone number, I believe, that's there as well, or you just go through email. And that sometimes my schedule online is not as up to date as, like, I've got stuff hopping like in front of me that I just haven't always, it usually updates automatically in the site. But if you contact me through email and say, when can you be available, I can certainly work at being available. I'd be honored.
And what's your message for people? I mean, particularly in a time of pandemic, and I haven't had anybody that I'm personally close to suffer from the COVID pandemic, and I'm sure there are people that have. So whether it's COVID-related tragedy or it's just death in general, what's your message for people in trying to deal with that kind of grief?
Consciousness survives the body. So as much as, like, you weren't there with them in spirit when they passed because they wouldn't let you in the hospital, know that they know this. Know that it's just, they're not just stuck in the room. Once you can leave the body, you can visit. You can say hello, and you can be there to comfort the people that you love. Also, too, if you're just by yourself and you're missing your mom or your brother or whoever it is, just say a prayer and say, I'm thinking of you. They will hear it. They hear it. They tell me this all the time. I heard that. I heard you praying. I heard you did this. You did that. They know. And so take comfort in knowing that if you weren't there physically, you can still communicate and know, and they heard you and they love you, and it hasn't changed.
Terrific and inspiring message. Thank you so much, Mark. It's always great to have you here. I hope we don't wait so long to have you back on the program again, because it's always a great night when you're with us.
Well, JV, you're an easy guy to talk to. I'm sure you may have heard that once or a thousand times. So that and I feel like I'm at home with a bunch of friends, you know, so it makes it easy.
Well, we'll have you back again very soon. Again, Mark's website is the place to go if you want to connect with him. It's marknelsonmedium.com.
Beyond Reality Paranormal is hosted by J.V. Johnson and produced by Orion Palmer and Slick Eddie Edwards. Like us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please consider supporting the program either through your podcast platform, click on the link in the description, or on Patreon at Joha Productions. If you'd like to be a guest on Beyond Reality Paranormal, or you have a recommendation for a guest, contact our producer, Slick Eddie Edwards. Eddie is spelled with a Y at slickeddieedwards@gmail.com.